Tonight, I'm not going to actually come from 2 Samuel. We've pretty much entered into the first chapter of 2 Samuel, and I did part of it last week, I believe, up to the 16th verse. But tonight, I've chosen not to continue with 2 Samuel, Lord willing. Next week, we perhaps will continue with it. Tonight, I just feel like speaking on something else. And so, I'm going to go and pray, and we'll be looking in a few different portions of Scripture. So I'm going to tell you sort of at least where those passages are, and then I'm going to pray, and we'll go into it. I'm wanting to come from 2 Kings tonight, the 6th chapter, and in Exodus, the 14th chapter. So let me repeat that, coming a little bit from 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, and coming from Exodus, a little bit of the 14th chapter. So I will pray, and we'll begin with the lesson that I will be coming forth with tonight. Thank you, God, for another day. You woke us up this morning, and let us come through this day, the morning, the afternoon, and up until this present point. Some of us might even be tired. Some of us might even be having physical pains in these fleshly bodies. And but you know all things that we might be going through. We need you in seeking truth to be our all in all. And having said that, we understand that there are things that we're to surrender to you. We're to surrender our will and our way. And Lord, to be subservient and submissive to you. There are times when we fail with that, and I ask that you forgive us. So many times that thing that we know to do, we don't always find ourselves doing it. We don't want to take you for granted or presume upon your goodness, your grace, and your holiness. We're asking that you will help us to be mindful of this life that you've enabled us to have, and we thank you for strength about our limbs. We thank you for the breath that we have in our bodies, and so many of the blessings that sometimes we frankly forget to thank you for. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. We're living in a world, dear Lord, where we see the breakdown of what you established to be for this world, from the family and into so many aspects of our life. I'm asking, dear Lord, that you help us in our homes to be firm on the foundation that you've given us through your word, on our jobs, dear Lord. Help us to be steadfast and unmovable, but abounding in the word and in the times that we're supposed to stand up, which is all the time, but there's sometimes it seems like it's a little different. Help us to be strong and faithful when it comes to the family. Just we need you. I ask you tonight, as always, to help me to come forth with this message. I don't want to say anything that's wrong. I only want to say the things that's going to please you. But beyond that, I want my life to be found pleasing in your sight. And I believe that's the desire of anybody who might be listening tonight or possibly in the future. Please help us, because we see, dear Lord, that this world is changing, but you do not change. I'm just asking you, the Lord, for your strength. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So on tonight, as I've already stated, we're going to be coming from primarily two different sections or portions of Scripture. They are not together, but I was just thinking today, and the title, the thing that I'm thinking about, the title is Open Our Eyes. Open our eyes. Sometimes I'm thinking during the day when I wake up in the morning and kind of get situated, and I'm about the routine that we have of making sure things are right, having breakfast for the children and so forth, and then being about my way on the business. And then sometimes it just seems that there's so many different responsibilities that we have. And what I realize is that sometimes the responsibilities that we have, it can seem to cloud our minds out of different things. The most important things that we have. So when clouding our minds out, sometimes the vision seems to become less clear. So just thinking, and I was, as I open our eyes to the point where we can see things that's most important, and we can see you, God, no matter what situation that we might be going through, we as the people of God need to see him. And it's so easy that when we're busy, that we might not see God through situations. And I think there are many who could agree with the truth of my statement. So there's a continuing to grow in God. So the portion of scripture that I want to look at for a little bit is 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. And I'm wanting us to look at some of the verses from chapter, I mean verse, I want to say verse 8 through verse 17. We're not going to read them all. So some of us are familiar with this particular text. So I want to give just a very brief backdrop. There's a conflict here. We're not talking about David. We're not talking about Saul. We're not talking about Samuel here. We're in the king, 2 Kings. There's a conflict with the nation of some text. Some versions will say Aram. Some versions will say Syria. And if we've studied the scriptures enough, we begin to see that there's often conflict with other nations, with the people of God. And the interesting thing about that is that sometimes it would be because of the people of God had just frankly disobeyed. Other times it was because the people didn't want them, the people of God, to take their territory. We're going to look and we're going to see how the Syrians, the king of Syria, was wanting to go against the people of God. Now, the man of God, the prophet in this particular text is Elisha. Elisha. So, Dream, I said I didn't want to read all those particular scriptures. If we do read, what, maybe 11 verses or something, 8 through 17, we just want to pull out some points here. Elisha is the man of God, and the opposing nation is Syria. Three, I would like you to start at this 8th verse and read just a little bit. Open our eyes. Can you read for me?
Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. Tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?"
That's good. I want you to stop right there. She's read from verses 8 through 15. Now, this is the way I see it, is a realistic message that I'm going to be trying to talk about, and very practical. We have a problem in this particular text. The Syrians are going to war, I mean, not Assyrians, I'm sorry, the Syrians are going to war against the people of God. I think this is Ben-Hadad, is the king of Syria. And so basically what's taking place is, this might be a slightly different message tonight in the sense of how maybe I'll deliver it or whatever, but let's talk about it. This king of Assyria, Syria wants to go and fight against the people of God, but he learned something that Elijah somehow, And this is through the Spirit of God. Elijah warns the people, on the children of God, don't go to such and such area, because he's saying that the Syrian army or the Syrian people are going to be there. So he warns his people that you shouldn't go to a particular part, because if you do, you're probably going to be harmed. God gave the man, Elijah, the ability to see some things because he was his manservant. When the king of Syria learns this, he's like, why aren't the people of God, why aren't these Israelites coming this way? And so he gets upset, because it's like Elijah being in, what did I say?
Elijah.
I'm sorry, Elisha. Elijah is warning the people what this Syrian king wants to do. So when the Syrian king finds out that the people of God are not going, he's like, there must be some informant from the Syrian side letting the Israelites know what we're doing. And so he talks to his servants, and they say, King, this is not so. None of us are letting Elisha know what's going on, but his God has given him the information. And it's like, whatever you tell us, the Syrians, it's like God tells him, whatever you say in secret, whatever you say in your bedchamber, God is letting Elisha know about this. So Elisha informs the Israelites what they should do. Well, you say, Gary, this is kind of interesting. Well, I hope you'll go back maybe and read this. It comes to the point where this Syrian king, he says, you know what? I want to send some spies out. We're going to check him out. We're going to go find him, and we're going to go get him. In other words, I don't like what's going on here. We're going to go get him. So we learn that these men go out, and they're trying to find Elisha. It looks like Elisha's resting or asleep, and then when he wakes up, he looks about, and there's all this encampment about the people of God. This is kind of where I'm thinking that this is very practical. Elisha wakes up and he sees what's going on. Listen at this 13 and 14 verse. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. 14th verse. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed, I want to say encompassed, the city about. Here we have a problem. The people of God, often when we look at different types of warfare, whether it was with Gideon, whether it was with Saul going against David and so forth, we see that a lot of the times that they move about at night because you want to take somebody by surprise. So these Syrians want to catch the people of God by surprise. So you've got this host. He sent out chariots. He sent out horses. And the people of God are unsuspecting of this. And they wake to see what's going on. Listen at this 15th verse. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host come past the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do with all these people now wanting to harm us? Now, let's think about different situations that we may find ourselves in life. Sometimes things will arise within a day that we're totally unsuspecting. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it might be a boss. Sometimes it might be a family member. Sometimes it's even something that may even come up from within our own heart that would make us want to initially contemplate going against the will of God. Something that would make us act uncharacteristic of the child of God, denying the Holy Spirit, or even so, becoming rather fearful. So I say, as my text, open our eyes. We have a physical situation here, in which one army is against the people of God, and the servant looks about and he says, what are we going to do, Elijah? This man is afraid. This man sees no way. This man, at least he's asking the man of God, what are we supposed to do? There are times when there are things, when we find that they come upon us, we need to make sure that we are so focused on God that that's our first point. What can I say? This is our initial thing that we do. Lord, what shall I do? Lord, give me the strength instead of acting in ourselves. And I'm not going to say sometimes that it's so easy. I'm not even going to say that sometimes we might think the right thing, but we ought to have been in the Word. We ought to have been in prayer. It should be our constant. It should be our very being that the Spirit of God is inside, so that when we maybe want to like be afraid, we think, I have a Father in heaven who sees this situation. I have a Father in heaven that I can turn to. I have a Father in heaven. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I'm a child of the King. There is nothing that goes on that he does not know about. And he's able to deliver me. It is taught many times that the Christian in some buildings, in some places called church, that the child of God is not going to suffer. It is taught that you can just name it and claim it, and God will change that thing. Where do you see that in the Scripture if you believe that? Can't we look through the Scripture and see prophets having to go through situations? Can't we look through the Scripture and see the disciples and the apostles having to go through situations? Can't we look through the Scripture and see that Jesus had to go through grave situations? Why is it that people are teaching that the people of God can go through on a bed of flowery beds of ease? Frankly speaking, it's not so. It is not. I attended a meeting yesterday, and in that meeting, there was an individual who shall remain nameless. He appeared to be about 23, 24 years old, and he had some hard questions. I'm trying to serve the Lord, he said. My heart is for the Lord. I really want to live for the Lord, yet I've never known, and I might be getting this a little bit off, but it's the gist. I've been abandoned from the time I was a child up until about 3-4 years ago. I didn't have a home. I was about this place. I was about this place. Most of the people in my family, they belong to gangs. I'm a part of this heritage. I'm a part of this heritage. And this ethnic group doesn't like the other side of my family. This ethnic group, this side of my family doesn't like this family. So here I am homeless. Here I am. I got gang members in my family. And then they don't like each other. And I'm trying to share the message of the gospel with people. Why is it like this? Why am I have to do this? And I'm trying to share the word of God, but it gets hard. And I don't understand why. I'm listening to this individual. This individual is so serious. I say, oh my goodness, I was glad to be there. I spoke up for the Lord. But what about when it hits us? What about when this seems to be, okay, I've been praying. That's what this gentleman said. I've been praying to the Lord. And it's like, I'm not getting, gentleman spoke of miracles. He said something along the lines of like, I look in the Scriptures and it seemed that the apostles and the prophets seemed to have it so easy and they had so wonderful and they had miracles. And I said, do you really think so? Let's go back and talk about this. Why did Moses have to wait 40 years? Why didn't his brothers understand? Why was Paul, why did the people want to kill Paul? His name was changed from Saul. I started naming things. And I said, if you're expecting miracles all the time, then I'm sorry, but you got the wrong gospel. God don't have to do things like that. But don't you feel sometimes, Lord, I'm in this situation and I want you to deliver me? He doesn't always do it when we want. Into. There is a reason, whether we like the reason or not. And the reason is, first of all, God's going to be glorified. Yes. God has got to be glorified. And he chooses that individual who's going to be faithful to him. This message is probably for me. I don't know if it's for you tonight. This message is for me. He's choosing those who will serve him and be faithful, not say, okay, I have faith. No. Will you go through? Blessed is the man. This is, I think, in James, somewhere around the 4th chapter, and I guess the 11th to 12th verse. I think this is apropos. Blessed is the man that when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to them that love him. We're going to be tried. And when we're tried, that means when we're tested, if we don't understand, ask God, Lord, have mercy. Will you give me strength? Will you give me more faith? Will you give me a wisdom to wait on you? And it's hard sometimes. But don't you know that God knows that it's hard? He told Paul, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So when it doesn't feel good, my grace is sufficient. And the grace of God has appeared to all men. My grace is sufficient. And the grace of God, I think it's Titus 2 and 11, somewhere around there. My grace has appeared. It's now made known. It's available. It's appeared to all men, teaching us, reminding us, encouraging us, rebuking us, exalting us. It's keeping us in the straight and the narrow in spite of that army, because you might have thought I forgot where we were. There is an army of problems sometimes. There is an army of opposition sometimes. Listen to the media. Listen to the news forecast. Listen to the people on the job. Sometimes listen to your family. And I'm not saying everybody's family member is against the things of God, but the word of God will meet you where you are. You don't have to try to just open up. Open up. The word of God meddles, and it's a beautiful thing, because so many of us, we want to protect ourselves that nobody can know the vulnerability or the sin issues in our life. But the word of God says, I need to get that. I need to encourage you. I need to cut that out. So the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, there's a right mind. That we must live soberly in this world, this evil world. So going back to our context, the Syrians are wanting to harm the people of God. Elisha is a man of God, and he's been telling the people on the Israelites, don't do certain things, and they're listening to him. But one of his servants, because of what he sees, he's afraid. Now, my title is Open Our Eyes. We need, this almost sounds like something that you might hear on a job in a meeting or a session. We need clear vision. But we need spiritual eyes to see what God wants us to see. I believe it was, Pastor Tim, a week or 2 weeks ago, was talking about some of the martyrs and the fox of the martyrs, because he's been teaching in Revelation, and he wanted us to understand how you've got to be faithful. I think he said unto death, you got to go all the way. And he started mentioning some of the I'm going to call them soldiers. Some, let's say, that would probably be in that great cloud of witness that Hebrews talks about. He started mentioning how some of them had died, being either boiled or being cut in half or things like that. None of us want that. I'm sure we don't. But if it's for the kingdom, we're going to have to go through various situations. This servant here asked Elisha, what are we going to do? Dre, I want you to read the 15th verse again from the 6th chapter and read on down to about 17 or 18.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall he do?
What does Elisha say?
And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Stop for a second. Elisha's like, don't be afraid. It's almost like sometimes when you're going through something, people say, yay, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and calls. How's that go? And are called according to his, what is that?
His purpose.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking, but it didn't seem right. Now, I changed my voice to almost make it seem as a mockery, but it's the truth if we trust in the scriptures. And sometimes when we're going through something, the things that we know is sometimes even what we don't want to hear, because Satan would love to have us doubt and to keep our eyes closed from the truth of this gospel. Elisha's telling him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why is Elisha telling him? This is the same one who could tell them, don't go this way, because Aram or Syrians are there. Elijah says, don't be afraid. Listen to how he says this. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. We get so caught up, and maybe sometimes I think we need to understand it. The world would like to make us feel that the numbers are important. Even some of these false churches, notice I said some, because we have 20,000, 30,000, we got it right. Y'all just got these few little people. And Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that leadeth to righteousness, and it's going to be a few people that get there. So you got a lot of people, you might ought to check and see if what you got is following the word of God. Now, I'm not saying if it's big that it's wrong, but I'm telling you, better check. And I said, be calm. This is God. 17th verse, and Elijah prayed. How are we praying? I just been thinking, and I'm like, Jesus would get up and go into the mountains and pray early in the mornings. Jesus would pray. And we need to be praying. This is a real war in this text. Because we don't hear gunfire sometimes. We don't see the tanks sometimes. We don't see the smoke sometimes. We forget it's a war. But it is a war. Do you remember several years ago, decade, maybe 15 years ago, that anthrax was so big? Some people believe that the government was in. I don't know, but anthrax. You say, this is a different kind of warfare. It's very strategic. The enemy is not coming such and such. And then Al-Qaeda was big, and there are sales in the country, and we don't know. It just pops up, and we're not used to this, and we're taken off guard. Well, we ought to be in tune with God so that when something comes up, we still got our armor on. 17th verse says, if you all hear me, I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep this thing in my ear. Richard, I got it wrong. Okay, I'll just take this one out. I feel good. All right. And Elijah prayed. This is the 17th verse. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, listen, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he had his horses, he had his chariots, and they looked so great. But Elisha prayed, this man of God prayed, open this man's eyes. He is of little faith right now, God. Show him your host. Show him your people. And we need to be praying to God that we can understand that the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that love him. The angel of the Lord, Psalms 34, verse 7, encamps about us. There is nothing that goes on in your and my life that God is not aware of. He is looking for us to be faithful. And sometimes that means we have to be ostracized. Sometimes that means we got to be mistreated, because he's going to get the glory if we're faithful. Yes. Let me just be honest with you. I don't like the way that works all the time, but I don't have to. I don't have to. James says, count it all joy. Mm-hmm. Meaning like, well, how do you feel about it? No, count it. You mark it down. I am getting to be a servant for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing, I say this message is for me. And it is. Things sometimes that go on. I'm faithful, Lord. I want to be faithful to you. I don't want to buckle. because of a situation. I don't want to buckle. The Bible says, yeah, and what's wrong with you? The Bible says, can I put it right here? Thank you.
This is a knife right here.
Oh. My wife is helping me, y'all. Just be patient for a second, please. Get it. The Bible says, yea, and all that live godly is going to suffer or endure persecution. Can you still hear me now? Hopefully we're clear. No, you can't hear me. Can you hear me? All right. Thank you all for pausing. My point is, it's going to be some things that we have to go through. Elijah prayed, and the Lord opened this gentleman's eyes. When I say open our eyes, I'm talking about being in I don't want to say a state, being spiritually mindful of what the warfare is like. When soldiers go out to battle, they're aware that there's a fight. In the battle, in a warfare, there's sometimes a battle that might last 2 days. There's sometimes a battle that might last maybe a day. There's sometimes a battle that lasts for a while. And there's sometimes the enemy would win and sometimes another side would win. And it's not really all-encompassing of the war. So there's often different struggles or conflicts within a war. This is a warfare. We must have a mind to be faithful to God. In those times when we don't see, say, God, help my unbelief and help me to see. Help me to be faithful to you. This is something that I have to do. This is something that we are to do. I want to read this 18th verse, and then we're going to turn to Exodus 14 and look at something that's somewhat similar. I'm going 17 and 18, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And they came down to him. Elisha prayed unto the Lord, and they said, smite the people. I think I read that wrong. And said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. Guess what? And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, I'm not telling you that just because we pray something that God is going to do it. Elisha was a very, very, very close to God. And we want to be so prayerful that we are fulfilling the will of God. So if you want to read the rest of this text, read it. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. Now, I kind of just cut into it. One day we may get back to the Kings. What I want to turn to now is I want us to go to the 14th chapter of Exodus. In the 14th chapter of Exodus, we're at the part where the Egyptian, the Pharaoh, is chasing after the people of God. His son has been killed by God, the firstborn, and he's now after the people of God. He's upset. Moses has been telling him to let the people go, and he didn't want to let them go. And we're coming to the part now where the people of God who fled from Egypt, they're starting to worry. So the 14th chapter is very similar. There's a conflict. And Pharaoh has sent out chariots. Pharaoh has sent out men to pursue the people of God. And if you were to read the 14th chapter, there's about three or four times where the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But let's not take it the wrong way. God used what, because Pharaoh was not going to change. I said, I'm going to let it be. I'm going to let it be like this individual has chosen. But you know what? I'm going to use it to my glory. I'm going to use it to my glory. Dree, I'd like you to pick up at the 5th verse of the 14th chapter of Exodus. And I want you to read down to about the 10th or the 11th verse, please.
And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pi Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord.
Read 11. Makes sense.
And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt this thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt?
One more.
Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.
Okay, thank you. So we're familiar with this story, this history. The chariots are coming. There's the barrier of the Red Sea in front of them. And I just went years ago when I was reading this, it's like I was like, I could just hear the horses, you know, seem like their hooves just coming after them. And these people are scared. I don't know how many millions of people just walking, but these horses are gaining, getting closer to them. And though God has spared these people and let them leave Egypt, they began to complain. What their eyes are seeing, what their ears are witnessing, and now their hearts seem to be telling them, we're about to die. And they begin to blame Moses. They begin to blame Moses. Moses, we told you we wanted to stay here in Egypt. Like, oh, my goodness. We told you, Moses, that we had it better in Egypt. Oh, my goodness. They lift up their eyes. Listen to the 10th verse. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, open my eyes. Now, there's going to be some things that we see when circumstances are not like we want them to be. We're going to see some things. But will we see clearly? Will we see what God wants us to see? Or will we see what the world wants us to see? Because the world wants to control us. The world wants us to be afraid. The world wants us to feel powerless. But we have a God who has made heaven and earth. And he says, his son, he says, all power is in my hand. Now let's just be honest. It really doesn't feel like it sometimes. When we've been prayerful and diligently in his word and trusting, you see, the seeds of doubt come when we listen. Now, it's interesting, it says, and I think it's in Romans around the 10th chapter, 14th, maybe the 17th verse, it talks about hearing the gospel, and the gospel is that which sets free. The gospel is that which delivers men, and it says, how are they going to believe unless they don't hear from the preacher and the one who proclaims the truth of God's word? For the grace of God has appeared, has come to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, teaching us that we ought to continue to believe. So you can hear a false gospel, you can hear a false message, and it can cause us to doubt, and your eyes will speak to you. Your eyes will tell you something, so you can hear with your eyes visually. They looked up, and they saw these horses. They looked behind them, and they saw Pharaoh's army, just like when we were talking about Elijah. Now, there's some situations that might be going on, and I just don't know how long God wants us to always be sometimes in different situations. Lord have mercy. But in the book of the Revelation, there was some people up under the altar, I think it's 6 and 10, and they were saying, Lord, how long is it going to be before you vindicate? How long? Be faithful. Be faithful. These Egyptians lifted up their eyes, and they begin to deny promises of the Lord. And sometimes we forget and we say, what if we want to deny promises? of the Lord. Instead of trusting in Him. Now, if God is to be glorified, He's going to be glorified. He can glorify Himself, or He can use people, the bodies who trust in Him, to glorify Himself. Because wickedness has to be dealt with. And so when he helps the victory to come on behalf of His children, the wicked see it. And they can reject it, turn, or indicted. And that's what God wants us to do. When the people of God were going to leave from Egypt and they get to the Canaan, Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, He said, other nations are going to see, they're going to take notice of this law, this justice that I can, and they go, some of the hearts are going to be changed. What kind of God do they have that cares for them? What kind of God is it that they have that fight for them? What kind of God that pierces through the lies of this world that everything is okay and you can do what you want to? What kind of God is this? Though we try to come against Him, He delivers them. What kind of God is it? Yes, it said they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they were complaining, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves. There were no graves in Egypt, so you brought us out here so we could die. Moses, you just moved us from one death to another death. That's what they said. And they're complaining. Listen at the steadfastness of this leader. Listen at it. Dre, I want you to read the 13th verse. Read, please. The 13th and the 14th verse, and we're coming near to the end. Open their eyes, Elisha pray. Open his eyes. Now, Moses says something here, and it's the right perspective. What does he say?
And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord.
Be still. Shut your mouth. Quit complaining. Be still. I know they're coming after us, but in your heart, be still. Stand on the promises of God. Don't you remember? Did you just forget Paul saying one time in Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you from this gospel, and you starting to look at another. Are you going to listen to what the people tell you, or are you going to trust in God? Even though the horses are coming, are you going to focus on the horse? Are you going to pray? Bow your knee, be still, and trust in God. He can save you if He feels like it. What you gonna do? Moses says, he said, fear not, stand still and see, open your eyes, see the deliverance, the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more.
Forever.
Won't see them. What's this 14th verse say, Dre? Read it, Dre.
The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.
God's not surprised by the situation. He's not. He's going to fight for you. Now, just want to look at maybe three more verses. Going back now to the 13th chapter. The 13th chapter, God is telling Moses of somewhat a way that the event, what's going to take place with their leaving, how it's going to be memorialized. I think I said that right, or commemorated. He says, you're going to eat unleavened bread for 7 days, and then there's going to be a feast. This is in the 13th chapter, and the feast is going to be a commemoration, and your children are going to ask you, what does this mean? Because God wanted them to train their children. He wanted the parents to teach their children that God will fight for you. He wanted to teach them that God has delivered us from a place of bondage. He wanted them to understand that God will provide for you. He wanted them to know that once you get to Egypt and you kill all the wicked nations, God will still fight for you. So when they ask you, you tell them. You trusted in God. These are the great things He has done. So it kind of deals with that. So I want you to pick up at the 14th verse of the 13th chapter. What does it say? It's talking about the glory of God, I believe. Please. The 13th chapter and the 14th verse is going to be the last portion that makes sense to us.
And it shall be.
Yes.
When thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, What is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage.
The Lord is the one that did this. Not us, not our fear, but the faithfulness. He brought us out. Two more verses, Drew. I want you to turn to the 20th verse and the 21st verse of the same chapter.
And they took their journey from Succoth.
Now, this is before we get into the text where the actual army, at least what we read tonight, where they're chasing after them. And they took their journey, what?
From Succoth.
Uh-huh.
And encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness.
Yes.
And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night.
So they had the journey, and it says that the Lord was leading. He was providing for them. He had told them before, God's going to be glorified. He's going to deliver us by the hand. Now, the people knew that, and then when the situation was there, they began to complain. But Moses said, hey, shh, be still. See the salvation of the Lord. It was not comfortable. In the case of Elijah, the servant, he was anxious. He was unnerved. Is that the word? He was worrying. But Elijah said, Lord, I want you to open his eyes. He prayed. Moses was sticking to the word of God and the promises of God. For us today, as we see different things, as we feel different things, let us be so steadfast and unmovable and praying to the Lord. Help me to see. Help me to be faithful so that when different things come, I can still please you. You fought for them. You'll fight for me. Lord, deliver. Lord, deliver. I want you to be glorified. In spite of what I feel, you'll be glorified. Because it looks like those testing times are going to come in spite of what we desire. God is to be glorified. Open our eyes so that we may see. This is where I'm stopping tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us a chance to be reminded of patterns that we see in your word. And while we can talk about these and even verily, verily, true Lord, to whatever thing we said, when it comes to time, help us to have a peace that passes all understanding, dear Lord, so that we can trust in you, we continue to be faithful to you, that you may be glorified. I ask these things in your Son Jesus' name, amen.